Talking Sports and Knockout Radio is one of, if not the longest running sports radio show in Tampa Bay, and heard every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. From football to MMA and pizza to travel, we talk it all. Every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m., we walk the walk and talk the talk. If you have a story you'd like us to cover, just go to knockoutradio.com and click the contact link and send us a suggestion. That's knockoutradio.com/talkingsports.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Remember that song, Pretty Woman? I wonder if that was in that movie with Julia Roberts. By the way, I was reading about some of the biggest divas in Hollywood. Did you know Julia Roberts is considered one of the hardest people to deal with in terms of being around? She's not quite all she appears to be on the screen, in other words.
Would she give you the stink eye or something?
No! Oh. No. I'm saying that I was reading about some of these celebrities that are not quite as nice as you might think they are when you get to know them.
I'm sure some of them, most of them are in their own way. Because, yeah. You know, when you have that much money, you pretty much get anything you want.
That's exactly it. I'm talking about like on the set, demanding the way they treat other people.
You mean like Tom Cruise?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, Tom Cruise was one of the people highlighted with that kind of an issue. Also, Ellen DeGeneres was in there, and I hate to say it because he played for my hometown Bulls, but Michael Jordan. They're not very nice to people around them sometimes. Well, anyway, that's, you know. Now, if I had all that fame and glory and money, I'd be nice to people. Am I nice to you, Ed?
Yeah, and you got all that money and fame.
I don't.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we got other things to talk about, though, in a few minutes. Mario Loyola of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us. We're going to talk about how the vaccination mandate by our president is going to fail. Interesting, interesting. Lots of people, lots of ideas on that. By the way, did we tell you that this is Monday, September the 13th? I hope you had a good weekend. Obviously, we were all tuning in on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and I think in our own way, each of us, I don't think I used the word celebrate. That's not the appropriate
word. No, but I was hoping we get to talk about this at some point today because there were a lot of great tributes. You know, Trump had a big audience there with the firefighters and the policemen. And, you know, when you think, because I think National Geo and History Channel, that ran all these, you know, behind the scenes, what happened. Just when you think you've seen everything over 20 years of documentaries, and then they roll a different one out that kind of catches you. But it was just surreal, and I got to tell you that the best thing I saw was there was the Saturday night game between the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. And I, as a kid, I loved the Mets, and I haven't watched a Mets game since I was a kid. And I sat there and I watched the entire game and the tribute and the start of the game to see every player stand there basically at attention with their cap over their heart back in the day when it used to be like that.
Exactly.
It just brought back a lot of great memories. So,
as a matter of fact, I was doing the same thing you were. I didn't watch the entire game, but I did watch parts of that game because I felt like it reminded us in many ways of that situation 20 years ago. In fact, I believe the Mets And the Yankees, or at least one of those two, were playing. They were the first game after the towers came down when they resumed playing.
The Yankees World Series, you remember, and then George Bush threw out the first pitch.
Yes.
Yes. They replayed that scene.
How touching. Yeah, I mean, talk about it. It takes an event, and we've learned this, it takes a tragedy to bring us all together. For a few brief moments, our nation felt like we were together.
And to see the announcer for Fox, Joe Buck, in the booth there, cutting away to him and them up there talking about it, still after 20 years, fresh in his mind, the memories and him getting emotional about it.
Yes.
You know, just 20 years later.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
It affected all of us in our own way. I remember so vividly what happened where I was. And I know we all had that, if we were old enough, of course, to remember it. It was surreal. It was something, it was a violation that we never thought would happen to us. Mm. I mean, let's face it. I grew up, we never had an ounce of that kind of thing. Nobody ever thought that our country could be penetrated like that by a foreign enemy and do that much damage.
And the sheer terror on the streets of New York when this was happening, the people are running around, they don't know which way to go, what's going on, what's happening, you know, is the tower coming down, what? Just to see it all again, it was just, I watched it the entire day.
Oh, yeah.
The different ones, you know. You couldn't see enough of it just to remind you, and I think you have to, because it's something that sticks in your mind, you know, and it changed a lot of things.
Oh, it did. There's no question about it. I mean, it changed the way we live.
Yeah.
Look at the way we take airplanes now and all of the things that we go through in the regulations, particularly with international travel and all of the things that we're doing now.
And it was nice just to see for a brief moment that you weren't a Republican, you weren't a Democrat, you weren't an independent. You know, you were basically a New Yorker feeling for New York. And
exactly right.
And the Pentagon.
And the people in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. So Pennsylvania was involved.
Right.
And Washington, D.C. at the Pentagon. We were all involved in our own way. If we were old enough and we were doing our, you know, out and about, either working or whatever, it definitely affected every one of us. And it's something we'll never forget. I mean, in its own way, it was just as big. Maybe in a different way, it was bigger than Pearl Harbor because it was a mainland attack, whereas in Pearl Harbor, that was thousands of miles away. But we always compare those two, you know, and so. And these thoughts will always, and of course, I mean, the firefighters going up.
Yeah.
Going up. How many of those firefighters and police going up into the tower knew they weren't going to come down, you know?
I don't think...
Maybe they weren't thinking that way. They probably weren't.
No, I don't think they were.
They just were doing their job.
They were doing it.
Firefighters had to get up there and save human beings.
You can't think about that. You can't think about it. Because then you'll waver about going up the stairs.
Right.
But to see all those guys knowing that they're not going to come down, you know that, but they don't know that.
That's right.
You know, and the amount...
That's true.
You know, and then...
That's true.
Then the calls from the call center asking, where are you? Where are you? And it's nothing but silence.
Mm-hmm. Very touching. We'll never forget. Never forget. Okay. In the meantime, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Mario Loyola, a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, going to talk with us about how the Biden vaccine mandate is not going to work.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Monday, the 13th. Thank you so very, very much for being with us. Joe Biden, on the 9th, I think it was, of September, announced new government policies that basically tells who will be mandated to get the virus shot. However, did you know that these mandates for federal employees do not apply to members of Congress? They don't have to get it. Their staff, I don't think the post office has to get it. Now, they got a union deal there to worry about, or the federal court system. They don't have to get it either. So with that in mind, we're delighted to have Mario Loyola join us. He's a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And the CEI has taken a little bit of a position on this. At least they're, the head of the CEI, President Kent Lansman, issued a statement. He said it relies on a dubious legal foundation. Mario, welcome to Freedom Works. Tell me, I think this is just almost unenforceable anyway, but it's kind of like a threat by the administration, right?
Well, so the main thing that was proposed last week was to set a workplace standard under OSHA that would require employers of more than 100 employees, which is basically medium and large businesses, to require all of their employees to get vaccinated. And that stands on some really dubious statutory foundations, just because the courts have struck several of these things down since that law was passed. The standard has to show, the emergency standard it's called, has to show that there's a grave danger to the public, and that the emergency standard, in this case, the requirement that the employees be vaccinated,
yes, indeed,
has to be necessary. And both of those look problematic here, simply because it's not even being required for small businesses, and also because half of the employees are already either vaccinated or have recovered from the disease.
Right. I look at it also from a standpoint of whether or not it's constitutional. I would think a better case could be made for governors having that right, because they're a little bit closer to their own people, to the electorate. The one-size-fits-all federal mandate at this point, I just don't see if it's going to hold. I mean, there are going to be all kinds of suits. I know they're all probably already are. But your thought on the legality of an executive order like this?
Well, so a couple of things. So I think the constitutionality of a provision like this would have been much more problematic 100 years ago. But as we know, after the New Deal, basically everything under the sun is subject to both state and federal jurisdiction at the same time, which creates all kinds of problems. So it's definitely a major problem in our modern constitutional system that the same exact activity can be regulated by both state enforcement and federal enforcement. But leaving that to the side, you're absolutely correct that this is something that states should be taking the lead role on. And there's absolutely no reason why the federal government should be getting involved in this, particularly because you've got a lot of the population has already recovered from the virus and has natural immunity, which is even better than the vaccine.
Yeah, and I think some governors are going to probably take him to court. I'm not quite sure, but I saw Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts was on some of these talk shows over the weekend. He's a vocal opponent of this mandate. He claims that the way things are being done in Nebraska, you know, are native to what they need to do in Nebraska, as opposed to maybe something done in the state of New York or maybe out in California. And so he's coming at it from that standpoint. So I think that I think pretty quickly it's going to be very hard to even if everybody agreed, I'm thinking the devil is in the details. You know, now you're putting the onus, are you not, on the employers with 100 or more employees to, what are they going to do if they're, you know, half their workforce is not vaccinated? What are they going to do, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing is, they, you know, that the, you know, again, the administration's going to have to show in court, well, this is going to be, the litigation risk here is 100%. This is going to be in court in a matter of days. And they're going to have to show in court that the vaccination requirement is necessary to protect employees. Well, if it's necessary to protect employees of more than 100, of companies that have more than 100 employees, why isn't it necessary to protect employees with fewer than 100?
Exactly. There's no common sense to this.
That's right. And so I think, you know, what we have is a federal judiciary that has, you know, the Trump administration was able to appoint 230, 240 judges of a much more conservative, originalist stance that aren't just going to rubber stamp whatever the administration does. And I think that the administration is aware of that. I think actually that the orders are carefully calibrated to go as far as they could without 100% chance of getting thrown out of court.
Really, really.
But I still think that they are on thin legal ground here.
Right.
They're doing whatever they can.
We're talking with Mario Loyola from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where he is a senior fellow. We're talking about the mandate by Joe Biden on companies with over 100 employees and all kinds of other people that are involved in the public sector, but not all of them, not all of them, including members of Congress and their staffs, the post office so far. I mean, it's just sort of a crazy quilt going on, the devil being in the details. Question for you, Mario. Would it not make more sense, even though I don't know that they could pass it, would it not make more legal? Wouldn't there be on stronger ground if Congress passed a law mandating this?
Oh, of course. But, you know, under the new system that we have here that's evolved over the last 100 years, the vast majority of legislation is actually done by executive branch agencies, not by Congress at all.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah.
That's a very scary thought. Go ahead.
It is a very scary thought. Yeah, it is a very scary thought because what's happened is Congress passes a law saying the secretary of whatever agency shall do X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, 5 or 10 years down the road, the secretary of that agency does something that Congress never intended to be done with that delegated rulemaking authority. And then you're in a situation where, in order to stop it, Congress needs to pass a bill blocking the regulation with a supermajority of 2/3 in each house. So mm-hmm. we've gone from a majority required to pass a bill to a system in which a supermajority is required to block a rule. And so what that does naturally is it creates a situation where every year you have thousands of more pages added to the Code of Federal Regulations, and, you know, the country's just drowning in rules.
Indeed. Again, we're talking with Mario Loyola of the Competitive Enterprise Institute on the vaccine mandate. Do you think, Mario, there's any chance that the reason they pushed Biden out there, I say they, the people behind him, pushed him out there to make this public announcement, was to deflect what was going on in Afghanistan, especially around September the 11th and everything else?
Oh, I don't know about that. That's the wag the dog.
Wag the dog, yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't believe in that kind of thing. I mean, I think that they'd be doing this even if it wasn't for that. And the reason why they'd be doing it is because they're getting significant pushback from especially red state governors that are trying to follow what they understand to be the clear implication of the science. For example, if you're vaccinated, you have a very low chance of getting infected. If you've already recovered or are vaccinated, you have a very low chance of getting infected. Even if you do get infected, you have almost a zero chance of infecting anybody else. So if you're showing symptoms, stay home. But the people who are vaccinated and aren't showing symptoms, there's absolutely no reason for any of those people to be wearing masks. That's what the science says.
Right.
And so they're pushing back on this stuff. And with that considerable pushback, I think the administration is in a position where it has to take some, it feels like it has to do, you know, take some of these extra measures.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that for the most part, these companies with over 100 employees are really going to comply? Or are they going to sit back and kind of wait, thinking, you know what, this is not really going to, this mandate is not, this edict by Biden is not going to hold up. We'll wait for a ruling. You know what I mean? And therefore, but the only problem there is, they might freeze in place. Maybe they won't want to hire more people right now. I mean, I'm just looking at all the things that can go wrong when you've got something like this, where, you know, where the president intervenes in the workplace.
Yeah, there's all kinds of problems here that are going to arise in enforcement. I mean, first of all, these vaccine passports are really easy to forge. So you're going to have mass forging going on. It's going to be subject to, you know, potentially felony. I mean, it's going to be, I think that a lot of businesses are going to sit back and see exactly how this is going to be enforced. And it might be just, you know, you show up just like people, just like hiring of illegal immigrants is done across the country, which is they show falsified documents on an I-9. The employer looks at it and says, looks fine to me. You're hired. So there's going to be a lot of that going on. And it will be a question of how this is going to get enforced.
So it's not, it's basically, it's going to be unenforceable. There's no way that the federal government's going to monitor all of this. And like you say, they can, somebody can dummy up some sort of a card. Yeah, I got vaccinated. Here, look at my card. You know,
yeah.
Everybody will be winking and nodding, including the employer, right?
Yeah, and I think the ultimate point here is that the reason why this should be done at the state level instead of at the federal level, or even at the local level, is that people, you know, the right balance of freedom and public safety is something that each community should be able to decide for itself, just like each state gets to decide what the speed limit is on its highways. That's not something, you know, there's no expert setting the right speed limit.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is maybe in its own way, it's showing people that the federalist approach, the states having more power than the federal government, really is what made our country. It helped shape our country and made it what it became, you know, in a good sense. Because like you say, we've gotten away from it. We got bureaucrats that are making all kinds of laws now, more so than Congress and maybe the states, right?
Yeah, when you make everything a matter of national majority rule, you maximize the number of people who are unhappy with the outcome.
Right. Exactly right. Well, we promised your associates that we would let you get out of here by 10:30, Mario. I know you're a busy guy. So we very much appreciate your time on this, your thoughts on this, and I know we'll be talking again. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Happy to be with you.
All right. Mario Loyola. You know, he's got some interesting points. I must say, he's got his own thoughts, his own personal ideas, and I think he's thought a lot of this through.
You know, one of the other things I saw over the weekend that, you know, on one side of Biden's mouth, he's saying that he wants the country to unite on this thing with the vaccine, and then on the other, he's whispering into the microphone that get the shot because our patience is wearing thin, and directing it at the Trump people.
You know what community is the lowest percentage of shots?
African-Americans.
The black community.
Why? I haven't put my finger on that. Why?
I think there's a couple of reasons. A lot of them do not go to doctors on a regular basis in the inner city. I'm talking about inner city.
They just
blacks.
Don't believe in shots.
I just don't think that they keep up with all of the things as much as other people do, to be honest with you. Many of them don't have doctors.
But you don't need a doctor.
That's
true.
For
free.
I don't know how many available clinics there are in the inner cities. I don't know. Maybe they also have a little bit of a fear. We don't want to group people. We're all individuals. Mm-hmm. But there does seem to be some sort of a connection between low income, inner city, and getting the shots.
And then you wonder about illegal aliens, and I'm going to call them illegal aliens, not undocumented workers. Illegal aliens that are here that maybe don't want to get it because they don't want to be exposed.
All bets are off for the illegals. Biden's not worried about them.
No.
They can come in, have a virus or not. They can come in, and away they go, and we'll ship them here, and we'll ship them there. But we don't have any comprehensive plan for making sure they get vaccinated before they do that.
But
so there we go.
I just thought it was funny to say we need to unite and get this done, and then the other sentence, 2 minutes later, he's telling us that his patience is growing thin.
He's the same guy that was against the shots.
Yeah, he said
when
the shots would not be mandated.
But he was also reticent about the shots entirely when he was running for president and the warp speed Trump thing went
and
out.
Kamala Harris also came out and said, I will not take the shot because I don't trust Trump.
So yeah,
you don't think people don't remember that?
They do remember it. And this is why I think he's in big trouble right now. Anyway, going to take our break. When we come back, we talked about the fact members of Congress and their staff are among certain groups that are exempt from the shot. How is that fair? We're going to get some thoughts on it and other thoughts as well from the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the fabulous Tantalk Radio Network. And thanks to Big Ed, if you miss our show, which I hope you don't, but if you do, you can always go back to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and find it on our podcast. He puts all our shows on podcast. And before you even click on it, you'll know who the guest is. You'll know what the top 10 is. You can stop, go to the bathroom, come back, listen to it. You know what I mean? It's great when you're doing a podcast. So we thank Ed for all of that. All right. We got both brothers Ceresi here. Both Andrew and Angelo, and guys, welcome to Freedom Works this morning. First off, Andrew, how is your delightful wife, Nicole, doing?
She's getting a little stronger every day, but it's a long road, Paul. I believe she's going to be on oxygen for about 2 more weeks.
Really? So when you say she's on oxygen, they got one of those little machines that you put in the corner?
Yeah. Yeah, puts the little things in her nostrils.
Yeah, I know what.
When she takes that up, if she's breathing with the oxygen, she's anywhere between 95% and 98% oxygen.
I see.
The minute she takes that off, she goes down to 80-83, which is not good.
Now, did she have a little issue with her breathing before she got this?
Well, no, this is what the pneumonia does to you.
Got it. I mean,
I'm still curious myself if it's pneumonia or COVID pneumonia. You know, they just gave pneumonia another name with COVID because she had COVID with it. Because the flu goes into pneumonia, too.
So she had pneumonia separate from COVID?
Well, they say, you know, one goes into the other. The flu goes into COVID, or into pneumonia, right?
Okay.
But COVID goes into pneumonia.
Okay, I see what you mean.
But because you have COVID, they call it COVID pneumonia,
yeah.
Because the hospitals get $38,000 from the government from each patient that they label COVID pneumonia.
So it might be that she could be misdiagnosed.
Pneumonia. She had regular pneumonia.
Right.
But they see with regular pneumonia, the hospitals only get $14,000.
Okay.
So, I mean, if I was the CEO, everybody'd have COVID pneumonia.
It behooves them to make sure it's COVID.
Yeah,
I can see that point. Angelo, welcome. How are things with you? I know you got the shot, and you so far managed to avoid getting the virus, right?
Yes, I have. A couple of people in my band, one of the bands I'm in, they both ended up with COVID. And we practiced on a Tuesday, and then the keyboard player said on Wednesday he started having symptoms of COVID. I mean, we social distance when we practice, and the female vocalist, she was standing next to him, and both of them ended up with COVID, and the drummer and I never got anything. He's got the natural antibodies. He went and got checked for his, but I never ended up with anything, so I've gotten my shot. My brother just got his third shot through the VA last week.
This is your other brother?
Yeah. My other brother, yes.
Got it. How did your musical associate get the antibodies if he did not get the shot or the disease?
He had COVID last year.
Oh, he did have it. Okay.
Yes.
I see. And by the way, what kind of a band do you have? I didn't know you were in a band.
One is a blues band, and the other one is a top 40 classic rock.
No kidding.
Yes.
I didn't know you were that talented. Why didn't you tell us? I would have had you sing and play the guitar. By the way, what instrument do you play?
Guitar.
My goodness. You could have entertained us. Well, that's great.
A weekend warrior.
You are. Andrew, do you have any musical talent, or is it just your brother?
I play the accordion, Bill.
Do you really?
I've been playing since I was a kid, yeah.
I forgot
to tell you, the name of his band is called The Dinosaurs.
I like it. The Dinosaurs. Oh, my God. I didn't know we had such talent here.
The other band I was in was called Happy Days, and we did 50s, 60s, 70s, and some 80s.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, do you get paid for your work, Angelo, or do you do it, you know what I mean, when you go out and do it?
No, we get paid.
Oh, okay.
But right now, a lot of places have went out of business, and, you know, and a lot of places have not...
Yeah.
But open, you know, for the music. I mean, they've had bands playing outside, but now a friend of mine went and saw another friend of mine's group a couple weeks ago, and I saw him at a Corvette thing the other day, and he and another friend of ours, they ended up with COVID.
Well, you know, this Delta variant is, there's no question about it. It is very... very catching. It brings me back to the mandate. I want to get some thoughts from both of you. Andrew, don't you think that the governors will do a better job rather than an edict from Biden on this thing?
I think Ron DeSantis blows him apart with what he's doing, Paul. What, are you kidding me?
No, I agree.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis, look, if the stupid government, federal government, was smart, they would be doing what Ron DeSantis is doing all over the country. And putting up sites where you can go get the antibody shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, the Regeneron. Instead of sitting there saying, get the shots, get the shot. The shots, people know, are half working, half not working. Third thing, it's a bunch of bullcrap. But we do know Regeneron works. If you get the sniffles one time, right? If you get the sniffles one time and you get the Regeneron shot, they're gone.
Andrew, why doesn't the Regeneron shot information catch on? I have not seen much about it. I'm not disagreeing.
Because they gave it to Trump, and it worked on him in 24 hours, and they're giving it to other people, and it's working on him in 24
hours. Yeah, so that's why...
Why would they do something that works? They'd rather keep the shots that they know don't work.
But, I mean, the media should pick up on it.
Well, the media is not going to pick up on nothing, Paul. Come on. The only thing they picked up on is that the old quarterback we had for the Bucks there is better than, what's his name?
Tom Brady.
I mean, I don't pay attention to any of them, to be honest with you. You know, I'm not crazy about none of their names and know who they are.
In other words, the priorities. Do you agree with that, Angelo? The media picking up on things like... Regeneron and some of these other things that might work and help people?
Well, I think they're just deciding whatever the Democrats' playbook is of the day, that's what they're going to do. They're not going to do anything else.
They're just going
to... Everything they had to do with Trump, I mean, just like you were saying earlier, Kamala Harris said she wouldn't take it because Trump was pushing the vaccine and...
They've turned 180 degrees, haven't they? They've turned 180 degrees on the virus shot.
Absolutely. They're the ones that politicized it. Now they wonder why nobody wants to get the shot. You know, they're the ones that are at fault.
Yeah.
The Democratic, well, Biden and Harris, when they were campaigning, and the entire Democratic National Committee,
they
politicized COVID, they politicized the vaccine, and then they wonder why we're in the place we're in. Besides...
Yeah. I have I want to mention something that one of the other governors, this is the Nebraska governor, Pete Ricketts, he brought this up, and I think it's a good point. They have a regular ongoing governor's conference call, and typically the president is part of it so that he's got a feel for what's going on around the country. But did you know that Biden never is on these governor conference calls? So this is what Ricketts says from Nebraska. President
Biden's never where he's supposed to be, Paul.
That's true.
He doesn't do nothing. You know it. You know what? Did you see this week, Saturday, the 9/11 commencements all over the country?
Of course.
Did you see the Taliban, how they celebrated?
Yes.
The American people should feel real proud and real good that Joe Biden surrendered. The American military never surrendered in their history, surrendered to these savages, and they were dressed in full American military uniforms.
They were inside the cockpit of some of the vehicles, the air vehicles.
The vehicles driving. This ought to make these morons that voted for Biden because they hated Trump. Okay, they have no idea what the President Trump was. This never would have happened under him, and you would have been proud today. But these morons insist that they voted for him, and he's doing such a... I hope they like watching the Taliban dressed in the American military uniform.
Yeah, it's really disgraceful. Angelo, we all know that Biden was trying to get this out of Afghanistan before the 11th of September so that he could make a big deal on the holiday, but it backfired, right? It backfired on him, right?
Yes. He was pushing to get it done, and he was rushing the pullout. You know, you never have the army pull out. You never have the military pull out before
the civilians.
And they just went about it ass backwards.
Yeah. By the way, Angela, got to ask you because you're a New Yorker and you're up there in Rochester. The 20-year anniversary of September 11, I'm sure you had some memories.
Oh, yes. I was. I had played out that weekend, and I started suffering the third heart attack when I got done playing. And I was out for a couple of months from work, and I was in the doctor's office, and he says, I'm not going to sign for you to go back to work. He says, if the other doctor wants to sign for you to go back, it's up to him. But he said, you'll thank me when you're still alive. But,
this was 20 years ago?
20 years ago.
Wow. Well, you sound like your health was maybe better than the doctor might have thought at that point. Or maybe what he told you was good. What do you think?
Well, what happened, I went they wouldn't sign for me to go back to work. But I did go back after I went from the doc, you know, when I got done with the doctor's office, and I told my boss, I says, he won't sign for me to go back. How about the post office doctor? And he says, well, we'll have to talk to him. In the meantime, the other cardiologist says, well, let's see what happens. We'll wait a little bit. In the meantime, I was still out of work, you know, and then the ricin started coming in, you know, the powder in the envelopes.
Oh, yes, yeah, that very deadly ricin powder, right.
And my phone was going off the hook because I was one of the supervisors in the post office, you know, and people are asking me, is it okay to get my mail? And, you know, the mail had to be radiated and all that stuff.
Right.
And, but after ensuing things, I didn't go back. They wouldn't sign for me to go back. And in the meantime, I had a couple more heart attacks after that. And then I went into ventricular tachycardia, again, where the heart stopped, you know, and then they had to put in a defibrillator, pacemaker, and all that.
Wow.
Because of the Agent Orange from Vietnam.
So you've had all kinds of health issues, and you happen to have one right around when you had a heart attack close to when 9/11 occurred itself, right?
Yes, just before 9/11.
I see.
In June of 2001, mm-hmm. I played out on a Sunday, and the heart started. I started with another heart attack, mm-hmm. and I was out from July, August.
Wow!
And I was, you know, that, and I was in the doctor's office. I'm ready to go back to work.
Wow.
And I remember, you know, people were all scared and everything like that.
Oh, very much. Very much. It's always a pleasure, of course, to have both of you guys on, and Angela in particular, because you're still in New York there right after this weekend and 9/11 and all of that that we remember so vividly, many of us that were, you know, running around doing different things like you were. But thank you both so very much. And, of course, Andrew, I'll be talking with you again tomorrow.
You got it, buddy. Have a good day.
All right.
You know, Paul, can I say one thing?
Yeah, please.
You know, the people that don't want to get the vaccine, they're saying it's my body, my life, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
They're echoing the same thing that the pro-choice people.
Yes, they are.
It's my body, this and that.
That's exactly right. It depends on the political issue involved.
It does, doesn't it?
If it's a child in the womb, oh no, it's my body, it's my choice.
Right.
But if it's a, you know, if it's a virus, oh no, we got to do it. We got to do it. I have no choice. We got to take the shot. Oh my goodness, it's all mixed up. You're right about that.
Bring that up, do they? The media?
No, they don't. You're right. Thanks, guys.
You're quite welcome. Thank you as always.
Okay. All right. Bye bye. There they go. There they go, the Sorese brothers. We're going to take our break, and we're going to come back. You know what we're going to talk about? Gavin Newsom, is he going to stay as the governor of California? The vote is tomorrow.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
And we are back with the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you again so very much for being with us. Well, tomorrow, Governor Gavin Newsom of California is going to be making a lot of prayers, I guess you might say. With only one day to go today, he's teaming up with President Biden at an Election Eve rally in the Southern California city of Long Beach in an effort to convince Golden State Democrats to get out and vote, and independents, because he's going to need both of them. Calling the recall drive a Republican power grab, Newsom this summer has turned to well-known and influential Democrats and progressives to help motivate California Democrats to get out to vote. The interesting thing is, this Larry Elder, I don't know if you know much about him, Ed. He's a black conservative. He has a talk radio show, or had a talk radio show. Of course, they are going after him. You know, he's an Uncle Tom. He's all the kinds of bad things. He doesn't think like he should because he's a black conservative. And they're looking, you know, looking for all kinds of things to throw at him. You probably heard about that white woman with a gorilla mask on. Throwing eggs at him and everything else. And, of course, the media didn't want to make a big deal out of that. They just want to make him look bad.
Meanwhile, Kamala's out there.
Kamala's apparently...
She was thumping for him, too.
Yeah. It says here on this... That's me laughing just after Kamala laughing. She laughs at everything. She laughs at everything. By the way, there's a headline I'm looking at right here on the screen. Ed. Kamala Harris questioned after announcing steps for protecting the vaccinated. And somebody asked her, doesn't the vaccination protect you? What are the steps after you're vaccinated that you need to do? That's how she answered it. That's how she answered it. So, normally we wouldn't talk much about a gubernatorial race. But this one's a biggie. You know, the biggest state. And this guy, so many people. I don't know. There's three governors in this country right now that are easy to hate. They are the governor of New York, there are two mayors and one governor. I apologize. The mayor of New York, I guess the governor of New York could be included.
Well, the former governor of New York.
Yeah, the former governor of New York. Mayor of Chicago.
Yeah.
I wonder how long she's going to be in there. Mm. And this Governor Newsom out in California. He's managed to alienate so many people. And typically when there's a recall vote, it's the people that are angry that turn out. And the ones that are, you know, everything's okay, they don't go.
And a good portion of them that don't like him have packed up their U-Hauls and left. So they won't be voting.
And we're going to be doing that in the top 10. Now, before we get to the top 10, I want to ask you about this weekend's football games. We had already talked about our beloved Bucks. They are 1-0. Some of these other teams, I watched the Kansas City Chiefs. They eked out a win. Mm-hmm. Did you watch any of the games this weekend?
Yeah, I bounced around quite a few of them. A lot of very boring games at the 1 o'clock slot.
Yeah,
but,
a lot of blowouts.
The 4
and stuff.
O'clock games, the Green Bay Packers really got trounced.
They
by
did.
The, but, you know, of course, the highlight is Jameis, former Bucks quarterback.
Oh, I wanted
Jameis
to ask you.
Jameis throws five touchdown passes. You know what, Paul?
How many touchdowns did he have? Five?
He threw four in one game, and then the next game he came back and threw four interceptions.
Okay.
So let's not put him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame just yet, as one of our local Tampa Bay Pravda writers is ready to do.
Well, I was going to ask you, because those of you that have been listening to our show for a while remember that Ed was, you know, Jameis Winston was not a huge favorite of his, and he did have some horrible games. But he looked, New Orleans looked pretty tough.
Yes, they had a great defense. They had a great defense. And Jameis didn't even throw for 150 yards.
No, he didn't. You're right.
If you look.
That's true.
So,
but he was always out there in a good position because the defense had played so well.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So let's see. Let's play some more games. Don't get too high if your team won. Don't get too low if your team lost. It's game one.
Who are the Buccaneers playing next Sunday?
And remember, there's an extra game this year.
You
have 17 games.
Who are the Bucs playing next week?
They will be home against the Atlanta Falcons. It's horrible.
Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons are, that's tough.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll be 2-0. Okay. It is time for our top 10. And just like you said, Ed, companies, the top 10 destination states for former California business headquarters. So these are businesses that were headquartered there. They've taken off, and Forbes magazine tracked them down to see where they went. Mm. So here we go. And let's start out with number 10. Number 10 is actually a tie. There are two number 10s. The first one is Kentucky. Mm. Kentucky. Now, why would they go to, I guess, Louisville in particular?
Kind of a neutral area.
Yeah. And I suspect that, exactly, and it's kind of
But then if you're going from California to Kentucky, the weather's going to be a big shock.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little difference there. Okay, and the other number 9, drum roll. And not quite the same direction, but Idaho. Idaho's a big place for, it's a nice state. It's a beautiful state.
Gotta love potatoes.
You gotta love potatoes. Boise is, I think it's a very Republican state. Mm. That's another thing. So is Kentucky, a very Republican state. Let's see how many of these are Republican states these companies are moving to. Okay, number 8, Georgia. Georgia's a big state. Now, Georgia's been going purple a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's an East Coast state, and they got Atlanta. I'm sure all of these businesses are moving to the Atlanta metro area. Okay, number 7. This is a techie state, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I suspect a lot of those techie companies out west have moved to North Carolina. Number 6, Florida. I'm not surprised about that. There's a lot of reasons to move to Florida.
Well, if you're moving from California to Florida, the weather's going to be about the same.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
That's part of it. I think that's a big part of it. You're right. Number 5. One of your favorite states, Ed, Colorado. I guess Denver. Another one that's maybe geographically because
Denver's
of where it's located.
But Denver's so widespread out, you know. Widespread, and then you can go south a little bit,
yeah,
and get to an up and growing community. I don't want to say up and growing; they're already growing. But Colorado Springs is beautiful, wide open area.
Yeah, that's true.
And you got the military base down there.
Yeah, it's also a hub for airlines, so a lot of these, that kind of thing. All right, number 4, Nevada. Well, it's right next door.
Yeah.
So for a lot of businesses, they don't want to go too far.
Right.
And maybe they got relatives still in California, right? All right. Number 3. And the same thing with Arizona. You got Phoenix. You got it close, you know. So that doesn't surprise me at all. The next one does. Number 2. A little bit it does. Tennessee.
What do you think?
No?
No.
Well, actually, Nashville is becoming quite a hub.
Yeah, Nashville's getting very popular for some reason.
It is. Really is. It is. Now, you've heard the states.
I've heard a lot of people wanting a vacation there.
Yes.
A lot of people.
It's a pretty area. You got the Smoky Mountains nearby and the whole bit. And you got country music, USA, and the whole bit. All right, Ed, I hope you were listening because you should know, because I haven't said it, you should know. What do you think is the number one state that businesses leave California for?
I'm going to go with Texas.
Drum roll. Not only that, it is Texas, but by a wide margin over all the other states.
Really?
Texas is the place that they are going. Very interesting. And because you got how many different hubs there? You got Houston, you got Dallas.
San Antonio,
you got Austin, and all of them are growing.
Yeah.
And did you know, by the way, also California lost a congressional seat.
Yeah.
So they lost population, too. So,
and you got a Republican governor there in Texas also.
Yes, you do. In fact, almost all of these were Republican governors. Maybe they were all. Okay, thank you so much. We're going to be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Until then, remember, freedom works.
No. WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan. Back to school, fingers crossed. In some places, COVID outbreaks have forced a return to online learning. Today, the largest school system in the country opened its doors. WCBS Radio's Marla Diamond in New York City.
The students and staff got fist bumps from the mayor and school's chancellor, Misha Ross Porter, as they filed into PS25, masks on.
The coming days, every single adult in our schools is going to be vaccinated.
But there were still plenty of opening day jitters among the students and